Blog Talk Radio.
And then one day you looked at me, threw your love in the air, and you're crazy. 5 days you tackled me, I still got the reference angle funny. Then 3 days in the afternoon, you realize it's not my fault, but only too soon. Say you've forgiven me, and now I'll sit back and wait till you say you're sorry.
We could talk over that part. There it is.
I didn't hear it.
You didn't hear it? How'd you not hear it?
You don't want to know.
All right. Should I put it back on for you?
To play it again. Well, yeah, I waited all week.
Oh, God.
I put it on hold because I didn't want to.
You looked at me, threw your love in the air, and you're crazy. 5 days, you tackled me. I still got the reference angle funny. Then 3 days in the afternoon, you realize it's not my fault, but only too soon. Say you've forgiven me, and now I'll sit back and wait till you say you're sorry.
Hey?
That's not bad.
No.
I need to get that Chinese chicken part in the middle of there. That's all I want.
I figure we can fade out there and you can start talking as it's,
yeah,
you know, doing a little fade in. So I was getting...
And welcome. Maybe. That's a part of it.
There. Yeah.
Oh, brother. So, despite my usual gastrointestinal difficulties, welcome to Soma Time. If it's 9 p.m., do you know where your colon is? Which is just kind of a, you know, foray, a segue into tonight's theme. I see we got 8 votes for the big theme song, so, you know,
oh,
looks,
yeah,
like Losing My Religion was in the lead there.
Uh-huh.
Had 3 big votes. Of course, none
and
of the above got
that,
3
the
votes.
The rest of them hated it, right?
Well, no, there was some single votes, but the... none of the above got 3 votes, so, which, you know, probably all came from you. So,
I did not multiple vote, but I did vote once.
Well, we did settle on this song. It's a good song.
It's a great song.
You know, it kind of fits the theme here, because we're basically trying to take, you know, sort of a jaundiced eye look at the world and get people interested in what we're doing without really having to... you know, force feed them a little bit, because we're going to, oh, wow, I just said force feed, and I'm sure we're talking about bulimia. hello. So, you know, so that you can understand the somatic method on the fly, so to speak, because the last thing you want to do is make this thing some kind of head game that you got to sit there and, you know, like you're learning calculus or something, you give it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Most of you out there are barely able to get over to Blog Talk Radio as it is. And if you do, you're looking for 2 things, porn and psychics. That's about it. That's all I see on this dopey network.
Yes, actually.
Now the election's over, the terrorists will go back to just spreading their propaganda.
Well, the terrorists apparently are in India making
an absolute mess. Yeah, that's a cluster F.
Yeah, my friend from India told me he was going to hunt them down and hang them upside down and stick a pole in their ass. And I told them to add a pork chop in there somewhere, and I'd be happy.
Mm, well, we should all just go over there and eat McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but it's gonna be a pretty interesting little transition period here, as Obama has pretty much taken over the world in the last 2 weeks. He's got more press conferences than a Met manager. This guy, he's on every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so who knows? I mean, it's going to be one of those deals where Bush is really taking on the lame duck status quite well.
He quacks right along with it.
He's been doing that for 2 years, you know, for the most part. I mean,
he's been quacking a long time.
Yeah, the only thing on his schedule today was pardoning a turkey. You know.
Well, you know why? Because the turkey is smarter than him.
Well, I don't know if we're going to have one of those tic-tac-toes with the turkey, but... You know, I'm just glad it's almost over. This is about 50 something days or so. I forget what Keith said. 58 days or whatever it is till.
That's right.
January 20th. Yeah. And then
that's
all the
right.
Fun begins.
And then, you know.
But you know,
you
now it's starting to hit home.
Nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
That's it. Well, now we're getting. Well, now the economic crisis is starting to hit home, because Citibank might have to. figure out how to handle the negative publicity surrounding the $400 million it's spending to advertise its name on Citi Field, the new Shea Stadium replacement here.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, the Mets spent over $600 million on the stadium, and they were relying on that $400 million to kind of cover their costs, and now, of course, Citibank is a little short on the cash. So, you see that the Sheik the other day on TV when they bailed him out? They had it like, owns like, I don't know, a couple of
decades. Uh-huh.
So now a Saudi Arabian, you know, dude with his little lambs in the background is getting
uh-huh.
bailed out by the government. It's like everything I've ever wanted to see happen to rich people, but
uh-huh.
couldn't make it up. I cannot make it up how I'm reveling in this. Maybe I'm just the Schadenfreude and whatever it's called. I can't.
Oh,
that
God.
German word when you get off on somebody else's misery.
Yes.
What's it called? Schadenfreude? I don't know.
Listen, don't ask me German.
Schadenfreude. Stubenfaden. It's just, you know, it's not that I want them to be poor like me. I'm on a free Blog Talk Radio trying to get my stupid theme song done. That's my project for the week. But it's one of those things where it's like the scales are maybe balancing a little bit. Maybe they have to spend a couple of days in my boat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I know my way around my boat.
Are there
boat.
Things that make you angry?
I see you've been busy. This one is. So to the Citibank folks, and some of them are my clients.
You filthy criminies.
Get your name off my damn stadium.
That's right.
So we'll see what happens from here. But Thanksgiving tomorrow for us.
Uh-huh.
I gotta get the billow. I gotta play it before 10:59. It's like a rule.
I'll do it.
I'm finding it.
That's tomorrow, and that
there
is it for us today.
That's it. It's all I'll get it down to like one word. It'd be like those name that tunes.
He's the best.
Well, he's without a doubt. He's unique. All I can say about that guy. I guess where was I going with that? It Thanksgiving is just like what they've done to Halloween and other holidays. It was a symbolic thing that now has become a commercialized, sort of excuse. And the day after, it's Christmas time. From the second you get that last bit of turkey out your bloodstream, basically it becomes back to the consumer mentality. So as we kind of shift gears, here's the culture, what the culture's telling you to do. I mean, tomorrow it's telling you to eat, eat, eat. And the crisis this week, if you notice, the hunger-thon and everything, was that there weren't enough turkeys in the soup kitchens. As if that's going to solve hunger or poverty or anything.
No, it's just a Band-Aid, but,
But it's this gesture. It's this gesture that no one should go without turkey, This is our country's standard. It's not that there's, such a weird way that the money is as they say, distributed throughout the land. It's the fact that, more people need food. That doesn't scream to people that this is way, way, way worse than we're being told. So anyway, I saw that they raised like $100,000 on the sports radio station here, WFAN, yesterday on the Hungerthon, and people are paying like $3,000 to go to dinner with Big Pussy from The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all this. And charity always bugs. It just bugs me. For no reason, it just gets on my nerves because it's such a feel good for the have, and it's such a do nothing for the have not. Like take us for example. Where's our charity? We have a concept in semantics that no one understands or wants to learn. We need to have a buyout first, and then a charity auction to raise awareness because we think this could actually help communication and performance throughout the land. But of course, there is no semantic awareness charity or somatathon. No, we get nothing and like it. See?
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right, baby cakes. And what question you have to Cleo today?
Oh, come on. What'd you do today? A little hog wild here.
Oh, you have no idea.
Yeah. So, if you haven't seen it, the blog we hate, the dailyprofiler.net, we got last week's review up there and some other little introductory things. I'll be slapping up some fancy little clips from our S-List ebook, help you learn how to do the profiling work and stuff like that there. And what we're going to do tonight, as we take our second step into the allopathic alphabet, is break down the condition known as bulimia, which is still pretty popular among the teens. You know, it's one of those ones that... Yeah, now I knew we're going to have about five vomit things here.
I have some that are so vile that when Rick and I were finding them, we were both getting sick.
This is a project for an exo.
Finding wave
files of vomiting.
We were hysterical because he had to get me the YouTube ones with, you could tell that he's got that little eco in him because he was dry heaving with it.
Oh, I saw them on the switchboard. I just retched just seeing the word vomit makes me retch. Because I have to deal with cat vomit like you do once in a while. And that's just, that you lose your appetite for a day when that happens.
Especially when
you walk in the middle of the night and there's like a puddle of it there to step in. There's those freaking cats. They're not like dogs. Dogs will try to hide it. Not a cat. Right there. Wherever you walk in, welcome, man.
They don't care.
No, they don't care about anything. That's the thing about cats. Irresponsible vermin.
Well, you know, then you should see what my dog does after the cat.
No, I don't want to know what your dog... See, this is why I can't go there.
That's
right. I have a pet gag reflex at this point. I recoil.
Yes.
I can't do it.
And I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's making me crazy, too.
646-478-4847, our Thanksgiving Eve show. Bulimia is going to be the topic here in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
As we venture forth into the allopathic alphabet, using our somatic method as our guide. So I'm just going to plug in the old bulimia here into the WebMD.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I'll get such great information because WebMD knows all, as my dad would say.
Mm-hmm.
If it ain't on the WebMD, it ain't real to him. So, you know a lot of people that have the quote-unquote general eating disorder, which can range, you know. Some people are bingers. I've been known to binge.
Yes.
Grazers. I like the grazers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some people do a little of both. Now, it's funny because what would the shrink say about bulimia? What's the shrinkatology of that?
Usually it's an issue with controlling one's body. A lot of people with eating disorders have some sort of abusive past, and now they're trying to control their bodies. So one of the ways that they control their bodies is the food intake, and then the food, you know, coming back out, or the over-exercising, just a way of gaining control over something in your life when something in your life was so out of control. It's really like making it a concrete thing.
So it's a somatization situation
of
a psychological issue grounded in the body, in the body.
Yes, actually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen it over the years, and I like the way that they say it here. Say bulimia. B-O-O-L-E-E-M-E-E-U-H. Bulimia. Now, while I'm doing that, I'm going to slip over here to YouTube.
Because
when I saw it, I can't find it. I'll never find it here. I'll never find anything. I come so prepared.
Well, your computer is just the biggest piece of crap anyway.
No, it's actually in a good mood tonight. Leave it alone.
All right. I won't say another word.
It's happy and peppy and bursting with love. That's right. Leave it alone. Anyway.
He's alive.
That's right. Well, this computer is. Trust me. Sometimes during the morning, I just back up and just let it do its thing.
Yeah, that thing is unbelievable.
It had a pop-up freaking, like, talk about bulimia. It must have coughed up about 500 pop-up ads last night.
Mm-hmm.
I made the mistake of clipping the little pop-up ad blocker thing, thinking that would cheer it up.
Uh-huh.
And it went freaking bonsai on me, and I had, you know, of course I had to reboot.
Of course.
But there's an old clip on I'll just keep talking until I can find this thing. Albania, let's see. Of the coach from Cheers and Sam.
Oh,
he's studying for a test. There's not enough Cheers, no one refers to Cheers. I watch that show a lot.
That I still watch it. Well, it hasn't been on, but it
was
on in the morning. Yeah, it was on in the morning before I was getting ready, but I think Third Rock from the Sun is on now in its place.
Unbelievable. Well, anyway, back when I was in Iowa, Cheers was still basically, it was in reruns and it was still on the air. This is the late 80s before the internets were hatched. And I had to study for these little tests that were like loaded with mnemonics, you know. And bulimia, of course, was on the test. And, you know, your brain is basically, you have so much going on in your head that it'll make you crazy to try to remember it all, right? So I'm watching, I'm studying, and I'm listening to Cheers kind of out of one ear, and I'm studying in the other eye, and, and Coach starts singing this song. And then when I saw that we were talking about bulimia, I said, I got to find this on YouTube, and here it is. It's perfect. You might remember this. I don't know if you remember this, but let's see.
I'm sure I will.
Any time now. So tomorrow. Oh, wait.
Is it working?
No. Not at all.
Not
at all. But I will give you the link so you can play it.
Oh, all right. Yeah, my computer usually behaves.
What a pain in the ass. You got to be kidding me. There it is. Unbelievable. I can believe it.
I believe it, too. Well, while you're transferring that over, you're...
I just sent it to you.
Don't want to sound like a dick or nothing, but it says on your chart that you're fucked up. You talk like a...
That's me interviewing a client.
I love that. All right, let's see if I can get this to work here. All right, here we go.
Yeah. There's a way you can think about bulimia. You can't remember what it's about. Follow my
little trick. Can you hear it?
Barely. All right.
Well, that's
Albania,
as loud as it gets.
Yeah, Albania. Or should we say Albania?
There you go.
Why'd you say it like that?
We learn our facts by associating countries with music.
Why?
Well, you want to study alone?
No, no.
Yes.
No.
One, two, three. Albania. Albania, you border on the Adriatic. Your land is mostly mountainous, and your chief export is chrome. You're a communist republic, you're a red regime.
That's an answer.
Ready? Albania.
There we go.
Albania, you border on
the A.
So to complete the loop, there I am taking the test, matching column with bulimia and anorexia nervosa, all the other ones, you know. And I start singing the stupid song. Crack up the whole freaking end of the room as an eco would. I'm humming it first, then I'm actually singing it. So bulimia. Bulimia. Flash forward 5 years into practice, I get a bulimic, and she fills out on the thing, you know, what's her problem, bulimia, and I'm talking to her, and there it is again. And, you know, we had a hearty laugh over it. So it's one of those things that I just can't let go of. I don't know what it is about the bulimia thing. But as an eating disorder, it is quite a somatic freebie, a ground apple, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to figure out what's going on. Now, on the WebMD, of course, they make it all so serious. It's most common in teens, 10 out of 11. 10 out of 11? What kind of stat is that? 10 out of 11 people, believe me, are female. Some are boys and some are men. Well, that would put everybody in the pot, would it?
Uh-huh.
But the big feature is the binge and purge cycle. Okay? Because, of course, long-term could burn out your teeth, right, your esophagus, even thin your bones, kidney
uh-huh.
damage, heart problems, and even death. Although anorexia, faster way to go, just don't eat anything. You know. But the whole point is that this is just an extension of what we were talking about last week with the anxiety-depression swing back and forth, right? And basically to understand this, you have to know your drivers. Your drivers? Come on, driver, Bonnie. Basically, you have four drivers in your system. They call them commonly the four Fs.
Uh-huh.
Feeding, a fighting, a fleeing, and sex. See? The four Fs. Now, the somatosapes that were investigating this situation found a fifth F, but it's actually just called intoxication, which is, of course, being effed up.
Uh-huh.
And everyone has a bliss point, and that's when you get all four of the other Fs met, and you are intoxicated. So, as weird and as bizarre as it sounds, just like the people that scratch themselves and all that stuff, there is a certain euphoria in the binge and purge situation. It feeds
uh-huh.
the demon. So, as odd as it sounds, the bulimic gets some satisfaction from throwing up.
Sure.
Now, you know when you're nauseous and you puke, you feel better, right?
I try not to throw up so bad.
Well, there's certain
it.
People like you that hate any bodily function.
I don't hate them all.
Well,
I hate
well,
yours,
you know, you hate everything. You're coughing, you're sneezing, you hate everything. You know, swallowing saliva is optional with you.
Well,
but
no,
it,
I don't
just,
mind.
You know,
I don't mind that.
All right, well, that's nice to know. Albania. But you think about it, when you're looking at it in terms of the way we think of stuff, which is that big wave, right? You start out down in the valley, right? Exo,
mm-hmm.
right? All right, that's where we're going to be mañana, actually, when the new moon arrives. And you can go to summerspace.org and click on Simples. And then down yonder, you can click on the current version of the Coherence Calendar to track your moon phases with us. Because the moon guides your mood. And if you're really, really hungry for some information, you can, yeah, go over to the store and buy yourself a little thing we call the Somatic Companion, the 30-Day Emotional Makeover.
Yeah, you
moon
should really
matter.
Have that. Mm-hmm.
There's the stock and stuffer for your bulimics.
Mm-hmm.
Because people think that all these things are all pent up inside you, when actually they're just you misreading what's going on with the moon because your brain is all scrambled because you're busy puking. Now, back to the story. What happens is with these four drivers, right, the four Fs there, that first one, feeding, goes into that first year of life when you must obtain food from the outside. You must, in a way, be nurtured, be fed. Mm, suckle the breast. Mm, yes, mm, tasty.
I gotta leave now. Jeez.
And a lot of these bulimics are really having an issue with that part of their brain that allows them to be nourished on any level because they have a little locophilo thing going on. As
uh-huh.
our friend Brittany, she'll be on the Good Morning America next week celebrating her birthday after she's basically had her entire adult life taken away from her. She's very happy now because she's back in philo, basically back in baby land. She doesn't take care
uh-huh.
of her kids or her money or nothing. Just
uh-huh.
be Brittany and dance, little girl. There's a lot of enabling that goes on with any eating disorder because, again, it has to do with how you nourish yourself on any level, okay? So when you look at this situation from the inside out instead of the outside in and say, oh, they have some sick disorder, there's something twisted in their minds. No, that first year of life, they had a lot of low coherence, kind of blurry experiences with food, nourishing themselves. And what happens is when the second year of life comes in and they build that physiological template that references them, called the ontosomatic loop, right?
Uh-huh.
First year you reference somebody else, you philo, you bond with everybody. Philo, you're like me, you're like me, you're like me. And then onto, nobody's like me, it's only me, right? Those first 2 years of life, that's 80% of your subjective template is those first 2 years of life. And then, of course, It all gets locked in the third year when you put the emotional coating on it, the little shell on the outside, that then develops an affinity to feed one of those two things. And then by the time you get to the fourth year of life and you're exoing it and you're now putting it into a system of behavior, you're not even aware of it at that point because now you're doing it both in the present, the future, and the past. All right? All that's covered over there on somaspace.org. Just click on the TSM link there on
that's
the homepage. It'll tell you the story. But what's going on with these guys is that the onto part of their brain that makes decisions is negating the philo part of their brain that has needs. And the big need for a philo is to be nurtured. They have the need to be nurtured. So what happens is that the body says, I need food, binge. And then the brain says, no, purge. So it puts the food in, and the brain negates it. And they can't get over that hill. So what happens is this is just like we talked about with anxiety. It's one side of the wave. It's overexertion with no recovery. Almost everything we're going to talk about on these common disorders, even cancer, we'll talk about next week, are going to be about driving that first part of the wave up. We're much, much more likely to have problems with overexertion than we are with too much recovery. Well, we'll get into that with a little bit with depression, but I digress.
Uh-huh.
Ah, Snapple. Good. So, to cover the back again, now, look back about 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. A little thing called heroin chic came up. Remember the gene ads and all that?
Mm.
Everybody got all nuts about it because these kids were looking like they were Biafra.
Mm-hmm.
More of an anorexic situation.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of those kids were bulimics, you know.
Yeah, bulimics are usually not too thin.
No. In fact, they go all over the place.
Yeah.
You know. And the thing is that it's not so much about their appearance, it's about their felt sense awareness that's off. Where the anorexic never thinks they're thin enough. You know, it's a little different animal. Because again,
yeah, that's right. Their mirror is like the one in the funhouse.
Yeah, right. It's a distorted mirror, yeah, basically, yeah. So but the anorexic has to deal with things it's a wasting disorder from that the onto dominates and won't even allow them to nourish. So it's a very, very loco onto pattern with the anorexic, where there's just low coherence on self-reference. They can't reference themselves, so they just deny themselves any nourishment. And
mm-hmm.
that's the way that they cope. Where the bulimic has that little conflict going between the two of them, and they sort of become a little emotional or eco about it. That's why they end up on the couch instead of on the table. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all you got to do to teach, it's so simple, all you got to do to teach a bulimic how to get out of that pattern, it sounds, you know, kind of simple, but it is. It basically is involving being able to breathe, blink, and of course, swallow. Now, deglutination is the phrase that pays with this, right? One third of the swallowing is voluntary. You might be familiar with this.
Mm-hmm.
Two thirds involuntary, right? A little gag reflex situation.
Mm-hmm.
Getting
yep,
into some dark
one.
Corners here. What?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you got one. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have quelled that. And for the most part, what happens with bulimics is not how much they eat, it's how they drink. So all I did with this kid about 12 years ago or so is I got her a little something to drink with a straw, and I said, let me just see how you drink. And all of them, when you watch, you can line them up. Line them up! They have to lift their chin like a little dog and jut their little chins forward in order to swallow. They cannot swallow with their heads level. They never learned how.
Interesting.
That's the pattern. Because in order to do that, they have to put their epiglottis, you know, over the trachea, and they have to, because they're more afraid of not being able to breathe. So most of the bulimia is more about the reason why they feel the need to throw up is that they think, their brain thinks, they aspirated. Their brain thinks the food, the brain thinks the food went into the lungs. It's a trick. So they stick their chin up, and they swally, and that's how they drink. And so when they're chewing and eating, forget it. It's even worse.
Yeah.
And if you watch them, they swallow tons of air, right, because it fills
mm-hmm.
them up, and then the air bubbles get, they feel the gas, and then they run and purge. And this is all learned behavior from when they were babies. Now, what happens, of course, as they get older, they start this becomes psychological because every time they eat, they feel, you know, lousy. And so, and then it gets into all the other stuff, the emotional stuff, and then, well, the shrinks get involved. But what happens is that the shrinks think, you know, the problem is like you were saying before, it's some horrible
control.
Thing.
Control.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's regulatory. It has nothing to do with the voluntary part of the system. It's involuntary. It's automatic. It's already installed. And so they don't even know they're doing it. So usually what I'll do is I give them a mirror, and I'll say, take yourself out to dinner, you know, and watch yourself eat. And then once they watch themselves eat, they see how many times their chin goes up. And if you watch anybody eat tomorrow, oh, this is a fun Thanksgiving game. You want to know who's running around with low-grade bulimia, which could just be indigestion. Could just be a little gas, a little acid reflux. It's a low-grade version of this pattern, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just means that when they chew, they toss the food like I throw stuff in the back seat of my car with their tongue to the back of their mouth, and they don't chew it down and swallow it. They just throw it down a big bolus of food that, for a couple of moments there, cuts off the airway. So they raise their chin up and they swallow it like a, you know, like a snake.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't breathe, blink, and swallow with any rhythm. So what happens is that the food lands in the belly. And the body, instead of having a digestive response, has an immune response. And then on top of the immune response has a limbic response, an emotional response. That's all that freaking thing is.
So
and
you don't need, 10 years in therapy?
No. And the other thing, 80% of the bulimics, chronic gum chewers. They're constantly with the gum, which simulates the pattern. Right? But they don't ever have to go through the process of swallowing the gum.
Swallowing it. There you go.
Right. There you go.
Interesting. I hate gum.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is that they talk about gum chewing with kids with braces and then there's Orbitol for the cavities and stuff like that. But the eating disorder strategy for that is it keeps that mechanism going like a chatterbox. So they're constantly preparing for it because then when they get the food in their mouth and they only do swallow once and it's like right away they're right back where they started.
Wow.
Like a chain of a bike. And that's all it is. I hate to say it, but it's that simple. And what they do is they make it into this complex thing that everybody runs around afraid of. What they got to do is give them a straw and teach them how to... Ooh, what do they do before they learn how to chew? Babies do what?
Swallow. They suck and swallow.
No, before that, they suck! Babies suck!
They suck and swallow. They do suck. That's why I didn't have any.
they do a lot more than believe me. They do everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's the whole point, is that if they teach them how to drink through a straw, to literally suck the liquids into their mouth and maintain a level head and swallow, deglutinate, they can learn to breathe through their freaking nose. It's almost like learning how to swim. And the other thing is funny, most of these kids have a hell of a time just dipping their head back to wash their hair. They lose their wind. A lot of them are asthmatic. That's another thing you see with this little condition.
You know,
wouldn't
the insurance companies love this? Instead of, you know, inpatient care for a year or something, they can hand out straws?
Yeah, be nice.
You know?
But it's not happening.
Not a clue. No, because it's not the AMA recommendation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they'd be running out of the clinics like this.
A judo. A judo.
That is the best scene ever.
Perfect.
Oh, man.
So anyway, that little piece is, like I said, when you're watching your friends and family tomorrow chomping away at the turkey, just note how many times you see a chin go up when they're swallowing. And you can then you just ask them casually as they're laying around in their post-turkey haze, you got any digestive problems there, Uncle Sam?
I got the gallbladder real bad.
Yeah, I bet you do. Mm. Because again, it's one of those things that gets kind of bypassed, especially when you see kids. You know, like I'm dealing with my son, with Kyle, all his issues. Is that the other thing they don't learn how to do is to close their freaking eyes when they put the food in their mouth. They don't trust, right? See, when you're getting fed by mommy. Right? You got to watch because the food's coming off the fork, you know?
Yeah.
You watch the thing, you play the airplane game, all that stuff.
But when you're feeding yourself, it's another trick for nurturing because it's kinesthetic. They make it visual, right? So what happens is it feels like, basically, like something's coming into your body that you don't have any control over. So it's like you're feeding yourself. That's another thing I used to do with the kids. Is that they feed themselves a raisin, right? They stick a raisin in their mouth, but they're supposed to close their eyes and drop it into their mouth. Trust, because it's supposed to be something you smell and taste and feel, not have to see. That's the other thing they don't do. They have a disconnect between the way that they see the food and the way they taste the food. So you teach them, like, if you get them into a workshop, you blindfold them and stuff like that and play games with them, and so they actually start trusting their tongue and their mouth and their oral cavity, as it were, as a way to sense if the food is poison or if the food is food. You know? And then if you get into funky stuff like with a super taster, which is one of those epigenetic things, where you get into, like, there's a little thing, I forget the name of it, it's a thyroid hormone thing, where if you put it on a super taster's tongue, it tastes like freaking motor oil, like on my tongue, forget it. I'm a big super taster. And they have a more intimate connection between smell and taste, so they're very sensitive to poisons. The back part of your tongue where the bitter taste buds are,
All right,
that's where your mineral register is, and that's where your system determines if what you're eating is poison or not. It's the last little checkpoint before the gag reflex kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't eat a lot of bitter foods, that's why I got the old trusty peppercorns here. How'd you do?
You've killed me with those before. Take a handful. The first time you did that, you poured a handful of those things. I said, what the heck do you want me to do with this? Chew it. Chew it. Keep it on your tongue. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. It reboots your I'll do some right now on the air. It reboots your immune system. See, here's another thing, because they throw up so much, right? They've got that acid coming up and they lose the bitter taste buds at the back of their tongue, which is their defense system to figure out if something's poisonous or not. Again,
yeah,
that's the reason why
nasty
not,
catch 22 there.
Well, you got traffic going both ways there, the BQE.
Yeah, that's nasty. All right, you get a handful of those damn peppercorns.
Yeah, I got them.
I like bitter stuff. I could eat a lemon and, sour
lemon
and bitter.
Lemon sour.
And all that
That's
stuff.
Sour.
It's sour and bitter, but I like bitter, too.
Sour's on the side of your tongue.
Yep.
Sour's more for kidney.
I like all that stuff. Bitter and sour, both good.
But what happens with these kids is that they become, a lot of them are heavy coffee drinkers because of the bitterness of the caffeine. And,
it stops them from being hungry.
It fills them up, number one. And it's also, of course...
Speed.
It's, the caffeine and action. No. It's a laxative. Coffee. So, again, it feeds that need to binge and purge. Kind of cleans them out.
Mm-hmm.
While it wires them up. So, again, you're dealing with a situation where they're trying to get nourished without being accurate. They're trying to do everything fast so they don't feel... So it's a visual thing first, suppress the kinesthetics as much as you can, and push everything through, and don't by any means, participate in the process. Let the whole thing go automatically, so then it becomes something that they can't control. So it's like in the effort to control something, they lose control, and in the process of losing control, they can't regulate anymore. And all they got to freaking do is learn how to suck through a straw, which doesn't take
Seems so simple.
We're going to go A to Z on this stuff. It is that simple, but the thing is that... It takes a different mindset to make it simple again. They made it complicated. They, the way the allopathic mindset works is that the problem is it's like if your radio doesn't get, like a radio station, it's not coming in right, that's the problem's in the radio instead of moving the aerial around and getting the antenna up and getting a better signal. They don't deal with the environment at all.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, of course, it's genetic, then they go, it's the genes. They can't find it in the blood. They look in the genes. That's the way. They look in the pockets. They look anywhere. But they won't look at the pattern at all, ever. Not in their nature. So heroin chic comes in about, like I said, between 5 or 10 years ago. And now you got these gossip girls who are really getting skinny and the 90210 kids.
They
the new 90210.
Are
they look
so
emaciated.
Skinny. It's nauseating.
Yeah, but this is what passes for being attractive. Right, but it's even now what's happening is a little bit of a backlash, where they've gone too far because these kids look emaciated, and it's like that's not healthy, and you saw it happen with the Olsen twins, or I forget which one of them was really bad off with it, You know, so we have a little, we have a 5-video series on somaspace.org, and one of them deals with body image. The Naked Soma videos, again, homage to our old show name, that gives you kind of a way to deal with these pretty powerful and overwhelming ways you perceive yourself, and you can just change it, because a lot of it, just like I said, has to do with physical stuff, orientation, things like that, that create the perceptions. And if you don't realize that, because you're thinking it's in your head, or it's something from your past that you can't put a fork in, or you got to talk it out because it's all about mummy, you know, those are all things that are nice little salad bars to go on, but they never solve the problem. In fact, all they do is they give the problem more credibility. And there's nothing worse than one of these kind of things than a healthy excuse. I mean, you see the story about Michael Phelps with ADHD?
I heard something recently about him.
He's riddled with it. Riddled with ADHD. And he's an exo. Okay? Now, here he is. All he knew how to do was swim. Now, when you swim, you create serotonin. You're using all four limbs. You're doing a simple, for God's sakes. Okay? And he used his body to entrain his mind. Wow!
There you
go. Throw all the ADDers in the damn pool. Get them running and jumping. Use their physical energy that they can't contain themselves with mentally. Use it in a physical way. Suddenly they're able to think straight. I don't understand how long it's going to take them to figure that out. That's all it is.
They're a little slow on the uptake.
Well, because there's a separation between how we mentally educate someone and how we physically educate someone. I mean, first of all, we don't even call it physical education, but we just call it gym. And really, gym is just an excuse to let them go run off some steam because all the sugar that's in their body, and then they go
back to
the plots of the classroom.
Dodgeball, kickball was pretty much it when we were kids.
Yeah, it's a violent sport. They can knock their teeth out, and they go back to the classroom. And then they're sitting in the classroom and they're squirming. Well, if they did their simples or did their quick fix with their eye movements, a lot of these kids cannot move their eyes independent of their head. It's another little game tomorrow for you Thanksgiving sapes. Watch the little ones, under 12, if you call them by their name, oh, Johnny, could you pass the cranberries? See if he turns his head before his eyes to see who called him. All right? If he doesn't move his eyes first, he just moves his head, that kid has problems reading, concentrating, he's got equilibrium problems, all that in just that one little test. And then, of course, check him out later when he's loaded up with tryptophan, and his eyes will move first because now his neck is tired because his body's dealing with the indigestion. A little trick.
Can't wait for tomorrow. You're making it so freaking appetizing.
Oh, it's a joy to behold. You know. So, it's like the other thing you got to deal with any eating disorder, especially this one, especially the bulimia, is this thing called reverse peristalsis. Now, we all get a little of that, you know, when you hit the fast food joints and things like that, because your gallbladder has a way of going, that's enough, sir. It's like the bartender of the digestive system. We're cutting you off. And you start making that horrible yellow bile, which becomes acidic. Yes. And then if it goes even worse, you get the black bile, the melancholy, which is oxidized.
That's scary.
Yeah. So the bile, instead of coming out like shampoo, comes out like a crusty whiteout. And it becomes an immune function again instead of digestive. So instead of facilitating digestion, it starts to inhibit it, and things start to back up. With any of these eating disorders, the peristaltic wave, which again begins with the deglutination, and the wave goes all the way through to the distal third of your colon, if you don't do that, and the valves are off in your stomach, and you're trapping gas and air and all that stuff going on, right? There's a reverse peristalsis that comes back up and makes you belch, usually, right? But a lot of these kids are afraid to belch because of the acid that comes up, burns their esophagus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they end up with all kinds of problems at the distal part of their stomach and the first part of their intestine, and they end up with a lot of, later on, with scar tissue in there, and that's where they're supposed to be putting the enzymes to break down their food. So they get malnourished after a while because they have damage to the lining in there, the mucosal lining in there, you know? So what happens with the bulimics is the same thing that happens in morning sickness with the pregos, is that the components of their urine, urea, gets into their circulation, ends up in their belly, which in a prego creates morning sickness, but in a bulimic creates the binge and purge. So there's a chemical anchor to it as well. Kazette.
You are just a wealth of freaking information.
Yeah, that's right.
You are.
Hey, look, you, just shut your pie hole and keep working.
I thought of you when I heard that, you know.
Yeah, pretty much my whole life. That's my internal dialogue all day long.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Hmm. So, you know, if you have any questions about this, again, we got a couple minutes here, 646-478-4847. Love to hear from you out there in Blog Talk Radio land, you pack of faggots.
Now, that's not nice. Oh, and speaking of that, hang on, I'm going to play this since you said the word.
Wait, I'm way ahead of you.
Was a straight gay of George motherfucking Bush is terrified of the pussy.
What? What are we talking about? Listen,
pussy.
Not
every...
That sounded like Lafayette, but...
It was Lafayette, and it got cut off.
Because I started playing Bubba.
Oh, for God's sake. All right, we can't be playing stuff at the same time. It doesn't work.
Yeah. What's this thing? What is it?
Now you're just filthy and vulgar.
There you go. You had a couple hours to blow this up today.
I did it a couple of days ago, actually.
Oh, well, that's called planning ahead, which is something I never do.
That's right.
So let us tell you about, we got a couple of specials coming up next week as we return for home here in the Christmas season. On our website, thesomaspace.org, you will notice now, and I will anchor it through and make sure everything's working later, the little gift card at the bottom below our lovely pictures. The Super Safe gift card is there for you to use to buy your Christmas goodies. Now, how do you get one of those fancy cards?
Mm-hmm.
It comes through us, through a company called the Plastic Card Factory, and our friend Rebecca down there
mm-hmm.
in Florida.
There's a shout-out.
Making
there
her turkey, yeah, making her turkey in her thong right now as we speak. I can't even pronounce the last name, but I don't even try. But anyway... we'll have those cards out next week here locally in the tri-state area. So that'll be a way to distribute some information. If you would like cards sent to you, by all means, nakedsoma@gmail.com. We will send you a pack of 10 because we need all the help we can get to spread the soma around. And we got job opportunities up there. You can become a virtual sales rep for us, sit on your fat arse, and sell some soma for us. Be nice.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or you can sponsor us to come and entertain you live in your fat face. I don't know why I'm calling everyone fat.
Because tomorrow is Thanksgiving and everybody's going to overeat and be bloated and disgusting, passing out on the couch, and probably getting a little gassy.
Oh, that's the best.
That's why. Yeah, but I think that's exactly what we're going to have tomorrow. It's going to be all of that.
I'll be driving home with that.
Yeah, you have a long trip home, too.
That's right. It'll be a long walk home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors, come out to play.
I love
that. My old
that.
Neighborhood. That's my old neighborhood right there.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
And here's the other one. This is a good one here. Here she is.
Every day takes figuring out all over again how to fucking live.
Right.
Oh, man. So, now that you've heard my spin on the bulimia, go back and scroll back in your mind the psycho definition, the shrinkatology of bulimia and what I just told you. Which one of them sounds more biologically plausible?
Mm-hmm.
That every bulimic has some kind of weird event that they're trying to control or some shit. Or suckers can't suck. Simple Simon mother suckers.
Well, you know what? Now I'm going to be staring at everyone when they're eating.
Yes. Oh, it's the best. You go to a food court with this information. You know, you download this sucker to your iPod. Just play that couple of minutes when I was describing the problem there. And you just sit there and you just count the pennies. Count the dollars that are being spent on antacids. All around you, because of a failure to suck. Most of life is a failure to suck well.
We should have that on a shirt.
Well, maybe we will. Maybe we'll slap that up on the Zazzle. Have it ready for Christmas.
Yeah, Charlie, Candy Mountain. It's a land of sweets and joy and joyness.
Please stop bouncing on.
The please stop bouncing part is mine. Kids want attention tomorrow when his turkey's at my eyeballs. Brother. But you know, But when you watch people, like I said, you can do it. Like again, it's one of those things. I tell people to bring the mirror to watch themselves eat. But it's like it's so much more fascinating when you're not eating and you watch somebody else eat, and you just watch how they hold their breath and they move their head around and stuff like that, and then the same person has all kinds of digestive problems, has all kinds of immune system problems, has all kinds of issues with their food, weight, image, all because of the way that they're shoving their food in their pie hole. So, you know, and nobody takes the time to kind of do it with any kind of intent. And like I said, the easiest trick in a book to learn is to simply learn to close your eyes when they put the food in your mouth, to trust, because you had unconditional trust as a baby.
You've always said that if you breathe funny, you live funny. So this goes right along with that.
Well, it's live and breathe, but it's mostly breathe first, then live.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't have a really decent breathing rhythm at all, and you know that's why we love.
I know I don't.
Stephen Elliott's work with Coherence.com. He teaches you coherent breathing because he's got time, and he's an XO, and he's obsessed with the breathing. But
he's a very likable guy too.
Yeah, he's a happy-go-lucky. He's the James Taylor of physiology. That guy.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, it's like I want to get, we're going to make a turn for home here next month as summertime embraces the holidays with cancer, depression, erectile dysfunction,
oh my God.
And a couple of highlight shows next month.
That's a party, man.
There you go. We got cancer, depression, erectile dysfunction next 3 weeks on summertime, so get around the fire, kids, for some fun. Let's see if I can just get this shout out here. So everybody else, if you want to just deal with a lot of your emotional problems in one song, I recommend Vic Chestnut's song, I'm Through. I'll play a little selection of that here. There we go. I think I would have queued this up.
But...
Here we go. Come on. Vic Chestnut!
And I'm through. Carrying you on my shoulders. And I'm
shout out.
That was too loud. I had no idea what it said.
Oh, come on.
Don't play it again.
No. I won't burden you with that.
But I had no
idea.
Not too
loud, damn it.
It was too loud.
No,
it was
it
all distorted like you.
Yeah, I'm going to play it again. It's tough. Now you got to make
it
play.
Oh, come on.
No, tough shit, man. There we go. You hear it now, right?
Yeah.
Here we go.
And then he makes it too loud again.
Make the theme song, but might as well. It could have.
Nah.
Yeah. I'm through hiding. Okay.
Nah.
Anyway, for the bulimics, like I said, this is much more about straws than what goes with straws? I forgot. Hay? I don't know. Anyway, was in my mind here.
You?
So anyway, we never opened the chat room tonight because nobody's there. But make sure you visit the blog we hate. TheDailyProfiler.net. Our number here again, 646-478-4847. We've got about 5 minutes left here on Thanksgiving Eve. If you are traveling this holiday, you might want to burn this to a CD and then careen off the road. and end up in a ditch and spend the weekend in a hospital. Just what
no,
our band
I don't
is.
Think so.
Yeah. Could. I might have to play it on the way back just to keep myself going.
I
meander up 684 tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, I can't believe we're going in two different directions tomorrow.
No, there was a Mongo accident today, by the way. I don't know
yeah?
if... Yeah, right at 8, Hardscrabble Road. Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Well, I went the back way, so we were together at the client's
house
Rexo today.
I'm surprised Rexo didn't see that.
He was in some traffic, actually.
Yeah. It was a big fat deal.
Yeah, he didn't really like that too much.
And so the other trick is to drink something cold, not ice cold, but cold, about 10 minutes before you eat.
Why?
So don't drink because it'll constrict the circulation to the belly and make you feel full faster, like they do at a diner where they give you the water.
Hmm.
Yeah. So you drink before the meal, not during it, so the food doesn't float to the top and create all that bubbly gas. You drink before the meal, not during. That's another way. And then drink about 10 minutes after the meal to flush everything out.
Hmm.
You know, make the mistake of drinking during the meal, and the stomach is churning, and then you throw a bunch of fluids in there, and everything floats to the top. You know.
Interesting.
I wish I could demonstrate the little Qigong move I have to teach everybody every year. I could kind of talk you through it here in a couple minutes. If you take your left hand, like you're going to shake somebody's hand, and then you turn it around so it's facing you, and you go right to the left side of your ribcage, right where the ribcage starts to kind of V out, you know? So you got like your fingers pointing right into your stomach on the left side of your body.
You lost me already.
Your hands out, left hand's out like you're shaking hands.
Okay, I shake with my right, but go ahead.
Your left hand's out like you're shaking hands with your left hand.
Okay.
You turn your fingers around and you stab yourself right where the rib cage makes like a little V on the left side of your body. Right? Got it? So you're looking at the top of your index finger pointing right into your stomach. This is going nowhere.
No. Sorry. Well, you know, I don't
you,
have
you
the
can't picture
stuff.
That? What the frig is wrong with you?
I don't do spatial very well.
All right, for the rest of you that understand what I'm saying, then you take the other hand, the right hand, okay, right, and you come in at a right angle, so the one fingers are facing in and the other fingers are facing across, okay, so it looks like a little L, upside down L, and then all you do, you don't have to do anything really complicated here, you just breathe out and you're looking for a piece of change on the ground between your legs, right over there. And you're just basically going right through, and you'll feel your stomach, everything move from the left to the right. That's your stomach emptying. It's a Qigong move. Maybe I'll post a little how-to on the maybe that's what I'll do. I'll post a little how-to on
yeah,
the
blog
we hate.
If anyone understood that, though, just for my own benefit.
Yeah, but
put it
in the comment section
for Val.
Because it ain't that complicated. You put your hands in an L and you breathe. Come on, forget it. What am I talking to?
You have to, because every time you tell me to do something, I have to see you do it. And I do that to Yo in the gym. She tells me, okay, do this, do that. I'm like, you have to do it first. I have to look at it. I have to see
Fine.
The modeling, and then I can do
Fine.
It.
You got
to
learn that way. But I'll see if I can find an instructional couple pictures for that. Put that over
that
on the
blog. That would be
nice. Yeah, that's a way to kind of tie up the evening here. So cue the outro. We got a minute left.
Okay, here we go. Where the hell is it?
Thank you for our bulimic. And then see if we can play the bulimia song.
What bulimia song?
The Cheers one.
Oh, don't
Albania,
do that one
again. Albania.
Just play the outro. Are we done?
I'm not done. We got a minute.
Well, if we play the outro, we're done.
We
just
play it, and we can talk over it.
All right, let's try it. Well, let me lower it a little bit so we can
I'm
lower it.
I'm putting on 150. There you go.
I got it. All right, ready?
Yeah,
go. Still too loud.
Can't wait to learn.
All right, hold on. Let me try to lower it a little bit here. Ah! All right, I'm going to put it on 70. Here we go. A little better.
Yeah, a little better. All right, so again, somerspace.org. Make sure you check out the gift cards. Get in touch with us if you want to stick them in the mail. And the blog we hate. The dailyprofiler.net for more information about tonight's show and next week's show on cancer. So for everybody here, Professor Val and myself on Summertime,
Thank you very much for this time and your space. Be yourself.
And be well.
Travel light, baby.